السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنتم تتمون 70 أمة، أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله. رواه الترمذي. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters who are listening, Ramadan has come and Ramadan has gone. Many Ramadans have come and many Ramadans have gone in our lives. If Allah gives us life, inshallah, many more Ramadans will come and many more Ramadans will go. But the question I want to address this morning is, how can we make this Ramadan different? Especially this Ramadan, because it comes on the back of a year of a pandemic, which I have labeled as Allah's greatest wake-up call to humanity. This wake-up call of Allah's demands of us, it demands of us that we make this Ramadan different. Our lives, our attitude, our approach, our mindset, our perspective, everything has to be different as we emerge out of this Ramadan and venture into what Allah has reserved for us in the months and the years that are to come. One of the objectives of Ramadan is to recalibrate us, to restore spiritual equilibrium, so that we can reconnect with the purpose of our lives, so that we can live a meaningful life. Ramadan has given us the platform to once again remind ourselves as to who we are, to understand our role on earth, and to inject a new sense of purpose into our lives so that we can live a meaningful life. We don't want to just live for the sake of living. We don't want to just exist. We need to live a meaningful life. That is what is demanded of a Muslim. Yes, we are in the midst of individual strife and collective pain in the Ummah. We are in the midst of depression and oppression. But it's pivotal, it's imperative that we remind ourselves how special we are. We have to be reminded as to how special we are, how much Allah has blessed us, how much Allah has privileged us, how much Allah has favored us. Allah says in a famous verse of the Quran, "Kuntum khayra ummah." You are not an ordinary nation. You are the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that makes you the best of nations. We need to remind ourselves that we are the best so that we can play the role expected of the best. We need to know that we are the best so that we can live and aspire and hope to achieve not only the best but to become the best of the best. In the hadith which I quoted in my introduction, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this narration is in Tirmidhi, "Antum tatimmuna 70 ummah." That, oh my ummah, you have come after 70 nations, meaning after many nations. But the reality is this, "Antum khayruha wa akramuha 'ala Allah." From all of these ummah, from all of these nations, you are the most revered, the most honored, the best in the eyes of Allah. The best in the eyes of Allah. There's a narration of Muslim where Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, my followers will be large in number. I will have a larger ummah than any other Nabi. I will have a larger ummah than any other Nabi. And I will be the first to knock on the door of Jannah. I will be the first to knock on the door of Jannah. Ahlul Jannati 20 wa 100 saffan. The people of Jannah will make up 120 sufuf, saffs, rows. Like how we are gathered here in rows. In Jannah, the people of Jannah will be put, all of them, the total, the quantum will be put in 120 sufuf, 120 rows. 80 of those 120 will be made up from people of this ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 2/3 of the inhabitants of Jannah will be from this ummah. May Allah make us from amongst them. So my message to you this morning, you are special, O Ummati. You are special, O Ummati. Live a meaningful life. Live a meaningful life. If you are special, you can't live an ordinary life, an average life, a mediocre life. We're not saying this, and I'm going to be repeating this phrase all the time. We're not saying that we are special because we want to develop pride or because we want to develop complacency. No. It's meant to motivate us. You know, like when a father tells his son, my boy, you've got special talent, don't waste it. You've got special talent. When the teacher tells the student, you've got a special ability, now don't waste it. Know your ability, know your capacity, know your talent, not to become proud, not to become complacent, so that you know that you have to achieve much higher than what you are currently achieving. So you are special, O Ummati. Live a meaningful life. You see, the paradox and the irony of modern society is this, that it has pushed us to one of two extremes, and Muslims have also found themselves in the main on either one of the two extremes. The one extreme is, you get those people who are lethargic, they are mediocre, the go with the flow guys. They just go with the flow. What's happening? The world is leaving them behind. We live in a world that moves at breakneck speed. So that's those on the one extreme. Then you've got those on the other extreme who are very busy, who are working very hard, but in a consumerist way, purely for material purposes. They're working hard, they're pushing themselves, but without a greater purpose. And what is the result of it? Their health takes a knock. They are stressed. They are depressed. They've got all the material commodities that they have accumulated because of their hard work, but they feel hollow, shallow, and empty inside. Because whatever they were pursuing it only for dunya. They had no greater sense of purpose. The solution to this, either one of these two extremes, those who are lethargic, just relaxing, going with the flow, some would call them oxygen thieves. On the other hand, you've got those who are working really hard, but they're living like what they call the treadmill life. A treadmill, you run and you run and you run and you sweat and your back is breaking and your legs are getting weak, but you're still on the same spot. You're still on the same spot. In terms of covering distance, in terms of physical progress, nah, you're not moving. So the solution to this is for us to rediscover our sense of purpose. For us to realize, why has Allah put us on this earth? So that we can live a meaningful life. Islam doesn't want us to be busy. Busy means you only fulfill the functions and the needs of the body. In order to lead a meaningful life and a purposeful life, you need to fulfill the needs and you need to feed your soul as well. What is required is not just to be busy or to be productive, but what is required is soul-guided productivity. Soul-guided, not the soles of your feet, S-O-U-L. Soul-guided productivity, where your internal drives your external. That's the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Otherwise, even non-Muslims work hard, and even non-Muslims are busy. I always quote this verse. It brings everything back into perspective. What is the purpose of our creation? Why has Allah put us on earth? Allah Himself tells us, one verse in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have created you to worship me. عَبْد. عَبْد, we translate it in English as slave. And slave generally has a negative connotation. Firstly, there's a difference between a servant and a slave. A servant clocks in, clocks out, has a very specific job description and it stops at that. A slave has no job description. You're totally enslaved, 24/7. You belong to your master. You have to be on call every time, all the time. But the word slave in English has a very negative connotation, because when you say slave, you're thinking of Africans who are shackled on the ship on the way to the Americas to serve the white man. But in Arabic, the word abd has a very beautiful meaning. The word abd has a very beautiful meaning. If you don't remember anything I tell you this morning, remember this definition. It will help you in life. Abd means when you enslave yourself to Allah, then and then only do you truly liberate yourself from everything and everyone else. We may not be shackled, and we may not be on the lower deck of a ship on its way to America for manual slavery. But each one of us here are economic slaves, mental slaves. That's the system of the world that we live in today. And the only way you can emancipate yourself from being a slave to your job or to your hobbies or to your friends or to the dominant trends of the day is if you enslave yourself to Allah. I am Allah's totally, only, wholly, exclusively. My morning is for Allah, my day is for Allah, my night is for Allah, my work is for Allah, my private life is for Allah, my every second of my existence is for Allah. When you truly become a slave of Allah, then and then only have you liberated yourself. So Allah doesn't want us to spend every ounce of our existence in the masjid or every minute reading Quran. Allah says, live your life in all of its facets, but everything you do must be only for Allah. Your goal and your purpose is Allah. When you become a slave of Allah in the true sense, then you are self-motivated. Not only are you self-motivated, you're self-regulated. You don't need anyone to police you. You don't need anyone to tell you what is morally correct from that which is morally incorrect. Because you know I have to stand before Allah and account for my deeds. You know whatever I do only for the pleasure of Allah.
Mouth disturbed attention, brothers. There's a Corolla YJB941. There's a 3 Series FX77SS. A Golf Fortuna JB12RD. Golf GTI 533 SMS. These 4 cars are blocking the school entrance and entrance. They are unable to enter the school or exit the school. Please, it's the day of prayer. There is no cause inconvenience to anyone. This is our cars. Please go and remove them immediately. Move them to the first place. It's a white Golf 533 SMS, a Golf Fortuna JB12RD, white BMW 3 Series FX77SS, and a white Corolla YJB941.
So Islam offers us a balanced system where you live your life physically, materially, privately, intimately, in every aspect. But whatever you do is driven by the motivation to please Allah and to do it in a manner which is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So you are not an average human. You cannot live like every other human. You are special, ummah. You are special, and you have to lead a meaningful life. How do you do it? I want to share with you 3 things that will make our lives more meaningful, inshallah. After having understood what is the purpose of our life, to become slaves of Allah and to live our lives totally and slave to Allah and liberated from everything and everything, everyone else. The first of 3 things that you require to live a meaningful life is spiritual energy, SQ. Previously, in the corporate world, it was all about IQ. It was about your formal qualifications. Then they moved on and they said it was EQ, your ability to interact with others and to deal with human beings. Today, even the corporate, secular, agnostic, atheistic domain is saying that when we interview a candidate, we see what is their sense of spiritual well-being. Because we have realized that those who are spiritually strong, whatever their spirituality may be, they are self-motivated and they self-regulate. It counts for more than your EQ and even your IQ. But as Muslims, what is SQ? How do you gain spiritual energy and how do you sustain spiritual energy? By attaining closeness to Allah and sustaining closeness to Allah. And Ramadan has given us the foundation for that. Ramadan has given us the kickstart that we require, because لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The higher your levels of taqwa, the higher your SQ, your spiritual energy. You live your life in the obedience of Allah and His Rasul. You become a true slave of Allah. You have spiritual energy. You abstain from sin. You've got spiritual energy. Because if you don't, Allah has warned us. Irrespective of your qualification, irrespective of your achievement, irrespective of your accomplishment. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Allah says, you live a life in my disobedience. You live a narrow, hollow, depressed, unhappy life. That's why the biggest pop stars, movie stars, sports stars are popping pills to get one decent night's sleep. That's why they are suicidal. That's why their marriages don't last. That's why they have all the women, all the wealth, all the material possessions, but they're not happy. Because Allah has warned us, you'll only be happy if you are a true slave of Allah. You need that spiritual energy. The second thing that we require is that we need to have a positive attitude. Amen. There's too many grumpy churches in our ummah. Just too many pessimists, moaners, groaners, complainers. And also, smilingism is like more difficult than climbing Everest. A Muslim ought to exude positivity and optimism. None of us individually, none of us collectively suffered the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam suffered. Yet he was a fountainhead of positivity and optimism, because your inside will determine your outside. If you're positive in your soul, and you can only be positive in your soul if your soul is connected to Allah, if you have that spiritual energy, if you have become a true slave of Allah, a negative attitude wastes energy, a positive attitude creates energy. Be optimistic, be positive, always be smiling when you deal with people. Look at the glasses half full, not half empty. Even when it comes to this dunya, we have an unnecessarily pessimistic view. We think that the dunya is condemned. No! You won't find one verse of the Quran that condemns dunya. What is condemned is hayat al-dunya. When you make dunya the objective of your existence, and you make dunya your ultimate goal. Otherwise, dunya is valuable. Where are you going to earn Jannah? Not in the heavens. And not in the grave. You have to earn Jannah in this world. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. So that makes dunya very valuable. And dunya is not condemned. Dunya is not negative. Only when you make it the sole objective of your existence, then it becomes condemned. Hayat ad-dunya. The Quran talks in negative terms about hayat ad-dunya, never about dunya. So what we need really is a generation of Muslims who will pursue the dunya with confidence for the sake of akhirat. Let me repeat that. What the ummah needs today is not hermits. It's not people who will sit 24/7 in the masjid. There's no monasticism in Islam. There's no papacy in Islam. Islam says you've got to go out there and live in every facet of human existence. What we need is a generation of Muslims who will pursue dunya with excellence, but for the sake of akhirat. Make money, but for the right reasons, in the right way. In whichever field you are qualified, or in whichever field Allah has put you, go out there and achieve the maximum that you can, in the right way and with the right intention. That is what is required. So, spiritual energy, first of three, that you require for a meaningful life. The second is what I said. Anybody following? Positive attitude. And the third, social energy. You can't live for yourself. I quoted the verse up front where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Kuntum khayra ummatin, you're the best of nations. Why? Ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken out to serve humanity. You have to be community centric. You can't be individualistic. You can't be an isolationist. You can't live for yourself. Righteousness is not only salah and zakah and hajj and umrah and tilawat. Helping the poor, the downtrodden, the aged, sharing your skills, sharing your wealth, sharing your time. That is being part of what it means to be an ummati. That is what makes us special. Allah says, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Allah says, it's my special servants. It's my special servants who have inherited the earth. What makes us, when Allah says you have inherited the earth, what does Allah mean? Allah means that you have to be the vicegerent of Allah on earth by taking a collective responsibility, not only an individual responsibility. Look at how Allah describes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. Your difficulty is his difficulty. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's always worried about your well-being. Whether you are Muslim or not Muslim. And if you are Muslim, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then he has special compassion for you. You can perform salah and give zakah and live a pious life, but you're not a complete and perfect Muslim until you start living for others more than you live for yourself. So three things: spiritual energy, positive attitude, and social energy. Then you will live, inshallah, a meaningful life. You see, There's this narration of Anas radiallahu anhu. You know, it's amazing. He said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're planting a tree, and the announcement is made that Qiyamah is going to start, finish planting the tree. In other words, don't wait for Imam Mahdi. Don't wait for Isa alayhi salam. Don't wait for better times. We're not living in the best of times. Do what you can whilst you still can. Even if it is making a difference by planting one tree, then make a difference. That is what the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. And whatever you do, don't do it in a mediocre way. Inna Allah ta'ala yuhibbu idha amila ahadukum amalan an yutqinahu. Allah loves that when you do something, do it properly, thoroughly. Pursue excellence. If you're a doctor, be the best doctor you can. If you're an engineer, be the best engineer you can. In the right way and for the right reasons. We need to live Islam. To live Islam. To live is the rarest thing in the world because most people just exist. I'm saying, Muslims, you are special. You have to live a meaningful life. You cannot just exist. Allah says, Nuran yamshi bihi fil nas. You must live your life in such a way that you radiate your environment with the nur of Islam. You must live Islam. Spread the light of Iman. You can't just be a Muslim in name. You can't just be a Muslim in the masjid. You can't just be a Muslim on the musalla. When you live Islam, then it impacts on everyone. It is mentioned in Hayat al-Sahaba, one person, Abu Umama, I think it was, he was giving everything in charity. And his slave girl told him one day, you've got 3 coins left and you're fasting. You have to make iftar. So don't give this. We need this for the iftar. There was a knock on the door. Beggar, he gave it. He went away for the salah. She went and took a loan. She was a Christian slave girl. But her master had such an impact on her, she went and took a loan and she bought the iftar. Before he came back from the masjid, she's cleaning his bed. She lifts up the mattress. 300 gold coins. Not upla. When he came back from the masjid, she asks him, but you know what? You're pretending like you gave everything 300 gold coins. He said, I don't know anything about this. This has been something sent directly by Allah in lieu of the charity that I was giving. She was so affected. Not only did she become a Muslim, she broke the cross from her neck. Years later, they found her giving dars of hadith and fiqh in the masjid of Damascus. That's when you live Islam. You live Islam. You are special, Ummati. Live a meaningful life. Deen is easy. The verses I quoted in my introduction, Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends ease for you. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah says, this ummah, I have made it much easier for them than previous nations. How much easier can it get? We have Allah. No matter what happens, you've got Allah. You've got the Quran. The best manual that Allah has given to anyone, the foundation for all success. You've got the Sunnah, the purest and the most comprehensive guide on how to live. You've got Ummatan wasata. We are an ummah of moderation. It's a great bounty of Allah. All of our rituals, all of our beliefs, all of our teachings are perfectly balanced. Look at how Allah has made it easy for us. Simple actions earn you multiple rewards. Allah has made the way to Jannah easy for us. In Ramadan, the Farad Act is multiplied minimum by 70. The Nafil Act gets the reward of the Farad Act. Any good deed you do, Allah says, is multiplied minimum by 10. You do a wrong deed, it remains only one. You read Surah Ikhlas 3 times, Allah says, reward of the entire Quran. You read Durood once, Allah says, I give you 10 rewards. I remove 10 sins, I increase your stages in the year after by 10. You say, Alhamdulillah, it fills the heavens with rewards for your good deeds. You go to Makkah, multiplied by 100,000, and the list is long of how Allah has made it easy and simple for us to attain Jannah. All we need to do is make some efforts, not to become overwhelmed by our individual difficulty or our collective strife. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How amazing is the affair of a believer. Something good happens, you make shukr, Allah rewards you. Something bad happens, you make sabr, and Allah rewards you. It's not difficult to become a pious servant of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِتَّقُوا الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Stay away from haram and you will be the best of worshippers. And stay away from being greedy over that which other people have, and people will love you. You want Allah to love you? Stay away from sin. And you want people to love you? Don't have a jealous eye over what Allah has granted them. So we don't live in the best of times. Humanity has stooped to its lowest level. Half of the world is in oppression, the other half is in depression. We know what has happened in Palestine. But even in this environment, it's still possible to become good Muslims and to live a meaningful life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Mathalu ummati kamathalil matar la yudra awwaluhu khayru akhiruhu." My ummah is like the rain. Rain doesn't only bring goodness in the first part of it. The goodness was not only with Sahaba and the Tabi'in. There's goodness in the last part of the rain as well. There's goodness in the last part of the rain as well. The Nabi of Allah has given us a glad tiding that if you will remain steadfast on deen at the time when it's difficult, like the time that we live in, you will get 50 times more reward than that person who's steadfast on deen at times when it's easy. So Allah doesn't expect much from us now. Allah has made it much easier for us to attain piety, to become slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to live a meaningful life. Time is up. Let me summarize. Ramadan has given us a platform to rediscover the purpose of our existence, to start leading meaningful lives. Ramadan has told us we need to remind ourselves who we are. We are the best. Ramadan has told us that we need to lead a meaningful life, and that starts by enslaving yourself to Allah and in the process liberating yourself from everything and everyone else. You want to lead a meaningful life? You must have spiritual energy, which comes from obedience to Allah and shunning sin. You need to have a positive attitude. You need to have the confidence to pursue dunya for the sake of akhirah. And you need to have social energy, where you are truly the vicegerent of Allah on earth, Khalifatullah fil ardh, in that you don't live for yourself, you live to others. And you use every opportunity which Allah has given us to earn maximum reward, because Allah has paved the way to Jannah with ease. You are special, O Ummati. You are special, O Ummati. Live a meaningful life. Yes, times are difficult, but Allah told Sahaba after Uhud, which was their low point, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't grieve. Don't become depressed. You will rise again if you become true Muslims. If you understand your purpose and you live a meaningful life, Allah will give you success again. You know what? Let me conclude by telling you this. We have a lot of weakness. We have a lot of weakness. But we have one thing that makes us special. Isa alayhi salam once said, the scales of the good deeds of the ummah of Muhammad will weigh heaviest on the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because they have La ilaha illallah in their tongues. They have La ilaha illallah in their hearts. As weak and as sinful and as disobedient servants of Allah that we are, we still only have one kalima in our hearts. We only have one kalima on our tongues. We teach our children only that one kalima. That fire of La ilaha illallah is still burning in our bosoms. That makes us special. But let's not stop there. Let that fire drive us now to lead a meaningful life. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَقِيتُ إِخْوَانِي. I want to meet my brothers. Sahaba said, are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? He said, no, أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. You are my companions. My brothers are those who will not see me, but they will love me so much that they will be willing to sacrifice everything for one sight and one meeting with me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to me. He was referring to you. He called us his brothers. We have the kalima. We are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muslims, realize your worth and let the realization drive you to live a meaningful life. I said it and I said it and I'll conclude with it. You are special, O Ummati. You are special, O Ummati. Let that specialness lead you to living a meaningful life. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.